Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am introducing a new company to all of you, our listeners. The company is Mammoth Resources, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MTH and on the OTC markets under the symbol MMRF. I'm chatting with the president and CEO, Thomas Atkins. Now, Thomas, let's start off with the company's overall focus, the flagship project, the Tenoriba project in the Sierra Madre Belt in Mexico. I want to go through some of the history of this project because currently Mammoth Resources owns 100% of this project, but it was even just last year that this property was optioned to Centerra Gold. We do have some historic results we can refer to. Thomas, start us off with some of the history of this project and what caused Centerra Gold to pull out, really give this project back to you.
Yeah, well, look, at first, just regarding Tenoriba. So it's a 5,333-hectare property. So it goes about 13 kilometers along trend by about 4 kilometers wide. So Centerra optioned it. We signed the agreement December 20th of 2018. They were on the ground in February of 2019. And that they had spent $1.2 million over 21 months. So Centerra itself didn't drill the project. It was drilled previously by a company in 2007-08 called Masuparu Gold. That was a TSX Venture Exchange listed company. Had a number of projects up in the LaRonge Belt in Canada, and this was their sole Mexican property. And that global financial crisis came, and they relinquished the property to the project vendors, a couple of Mexican prospectors. We picked it up in 2012, and since then have done exploration, including ourselves, 13 drill holes in 2018. The predecessor, Masuparu, drilled 15 drill holes, had some really good results, but they announced those results in June of 2008. I expect the idea was, you know, summer's not the best time to go out and try to raise money, generally speaking. Probably envisioned going out and raising money in the fall, and of course the global financial crisis came, and that just, you know, obviously that changed situations for many companies. But Centerra was to spend $10 million over a 7-year period to earn a 70% interest. That's $10 million U.S. And that they spent $1.2 million over these 21 months. They had permitted for 139 drill holes and had two contractors bidding on the project when a corporate decision was made to pull out of Mexico entirely. And that, so they returned all the projects they were working on to whomever they had optioned them from, including Tenoriba. You know, it was clear that they weren't leaving anything to do with Tenoriba, but rather a corporate decision to leave Mexico entirely.
So then in terms of all this historic work that was done by no matter which company, what were some of the results that you saw? More or less, what's the potential here of this project from some of the historic working?
Yeah, well, first off, so the trend that's been best identified along a larger 7 kilometer by 3 kilometer trend is a 5 by 3 kilometer area, so 15 square kilometers. And that, where we've got soil geochem that, I mean, highly, highly anomalous. I mean, realistically, some of the gold that they're actually getting in soils would be a cutoff grade in an open pit heap leach mine. And this is just in dirt, gold in dirt, not actually in the rock. And that, and this is over this large 5 kilometer by 3 kilometer trend. Some of the initial drilling, this is an example. I mean, there was one intersection, they had about 25 meters grading 4 gram per ton gold, of which there was a high grade intersection of 2 meters grading 46 gram per ton gold. You know, others were like 35 meters of a gram, 66 meters of half a gram. These were the kind of results, and the whole geological system, it being a high sulfidation system, that's what really attracted us to this area. In fact, just to put that in context, we actually, the vendors had some overdue taxes that were due, and we actually paid $45,000 just on a letter of intent. That's how enthusiastic we were based on what we'd seen in historic results from this 2007-08 program. And that we went in and drilled ourselves. This is following some geophysics. We did some channel sampling where we got, you know, we went to the largest outcrops over a 7 kilometer trend. And we took the longest cut sawn channels into the rock to get a sense of, you know, not only what the chip samples assay, but what can we get over significant lengths. And we were, you know, we were able to get like 10 meters over 15 meters over 1.1 grams, 13.5 meters, 1.55 on surface channels. And then we drilled ourselves 11 drill holes in 2018. And, you know, just an example, in the western area, and we were, and look, one thing I want to point out on this drilling is we weren't just doing short little step outs, 50 meter step outs on the historic drilling. We actually were doing step outs into whole other areas that had not previously been drilled from this first phase program. We were drilling, like, gosh, we went out 600 to 1.2 kilometer step outs to the west and to the east. A couple of highlight intersections from that. Interestingly, as you go west in the project, you actually drop down in elevation about 600-700 meters. So you get deeper into this system. And the core of these systems are porphyries, which can be a porphyry gold copper, or maybe it's copper gold. In this case, we had one intersection. It was 7.2 meters of 3.6% copper in this western portion. Another one was 6 meters of 3.5 gold in a different hole. We had one really long intersection of 127 meters grading 0.52, some higher grade intersections in this program as well, 23 meters grading 1.3. It's these kind of results from this 18 program. This is what attracted Centerra. And look, to put Centerra in context, Centerra wouldn't even have looked at this project if they didn't feel it had the potential to hold, hold in excess of 1 million ounces of gold.
Okay, let's bring it up to current time then, and the work that your team is planning on doing this year. We do need to disclose that the company will need to raise money for the planned program, but in terms of target areas, I understand over that about 5 kilometers of strike, initially there are three main target areas. Take us through these three initial target areas, please.
Yes, so the one that I made reference to in the west, the one where we drop down in elevation, we get deeper into the core of the system. That's called the El Moreno area. And what's interesting about that is, so we did geophysics back in 14 to enable us to get a better sense of our drill targets. And what's kind of interesting is this program that the predecessor did, they did it just based on surface sampling and mapping. And that's so, you know, pretty aggressive program. And, you know, they got good results from that. Gave us a lot of encouragement on the project that just such simple surface work enabled such good results. We went in as part of our program and we did some geophysics, IP and MAG. We only did it over about 40% of the project area because the truth is, look, we didn't know whether it was going to work or not. So we didn't want to cover this really large area, spend a whole bunch of money on geophysics and go, oh, geez, that didn't really work for us. And that, so we covered about 40% of the property, including we went over where the predecessor had done their drilling because, you know, we knew that they had results. And so we wanted to see how those looked in the geophysics. And that this area to the west, Moreno, that's about a 1.2 kilometer step out from the central area that had been drilled before. We only actually did three lines at 100 meter spacing. We only have covered like 200 meters in geophysics of a 1.5 to 2 kilometer trend. So there's huge potential in this area to the west. And so we're doing infill geophysics right now over this area and other parts of the project as well. So we're doing infill on this 60% that we haven't covered. And that we're also employing a group called Intelligent Exploration. These are geophysical specialists. And so we're employing their expertise in 3D modeling and just tweaking the survey to get the most out of it as we go into this next round of geophysics. So that's the El Moreno area to the west. Further to the west, there's an area of Cerro Colorado where we've done very little work but that's another kilometer, again, further to the west. So there's at least 3 kilometers further to the west of the central zone that had historically been drilled. And that area is called Masuparia after the company that did the prior work, Masuparia Gold. And then to the east of that, there's an area called Canaritos. And Canaritos is a really large area. My gosh, there's about 1.5 kilometers by about 1 kilometer wide. And within that, interestingly, we took back in 13, 14 or earlier years in the project, we did 146 chip samples there. So these are like 2 meter long chip samples. We generally just, you know, we always would aim to sample about a 2 meter interval. And 74% of those graded better than a 0.3 gram per ton gold cutoff. We never reported below 0.3 gram per ton gold. We kind of figured that was at that time around $1,200 an ounce gold. That was a good cutoff for an open pit heap leach mine, which we believe this has the potential to be. And that, but 74% of the 146 samples we took in that area graded better than 0.3. So their average weighted grade was 1.56 gram per ton gold over, like, this is an area that in and of itself could hold in excess of 1 million ounces. And this is just one area of four areas. This is one area that is about 1 kilometer wide along a, you know, 6 to 7 kilometer trend. So I think it gives the a sense of the potential there. And it, and that was the area where we had that one really long intersection of 127 meters grading 0.52. Want to highlight within that there was 25 meters grading 1.21 as well. So I think that's a good sense of the potential over this really, really large area in a type of system that are quite prolific in the Sierra Madre. Like, this is the same type of system that was El Sauzel, which was a 1.8 million ounce deposit. It's the same type of system that is Alamos Gold's Mulatos project, which is 6.2 million ounces. So I think it's got huge potential.
So what other work needs to be undertaken and the time frame then to move towards actual drilling and having, it sounds like, a bit more solid drill targets?
Yeah, and that's exactly what we want to do. In a way, look, the project was validated by the fact that Centerra and their PhD geologists and their belief in the system that they spent, you know, more than almost 2 years there, $1.2 million and were ready to drill. But the fact is they left before that occurred. And so, you know, there's a question mark in that. So what we want to do is we want to do this infill geophysics. We're working closely with this group I mentioned, Intelligent Exploration, on the geophysical modeling, incorporating our surface and our historical drilling to find the best targets over a 6 to 7 kilometer trend. And the idea is with that work, we'll be doing a drill targeting, working with Intelligent Exploration. And you know, we hope to come up with, 50 to 100 drill holes. The project's fully permitted. We've got a 2-year surface rights agreement with two local ejidos. We've received the drill permit for the 139 drill holes. And you know, we're in the midst of this geophysical survey is going to start imminently. And expect that to be completed in the next 3 weeks. And then we'll start incorporating that data. We'll be incorporating it on a daily basis, but we'll fully incorporate that data into drill selection. And, you know, we hope to announce towards the end of March our drill program and identifying for shareholders where we see the opportunities, for some really good drill targets.
Okay. So moving towards drilling, let's say mid to later this year, then after you finish off this surface work. Now let's go through a couple of the other company fundamentals. Share structure, just short of, let's say, 47 million shares outstanding on a fully diluted basis, a little over 49 million shares outstanding. Give us a little bit more information on the breakup or allocation of insiders, institutions, and the retail holdings, please.
Yes. Well, I'm a 10% shareholder. Their vice president exploration is 5%. U.S. Global is a 10% shareholder. They've been very supportive, great guys. Ralph Aldis is the fund manager there. Swiss 3000, it's a small cap fund of the larger Swiss gold fund, Swiss 2000. They're a 5% shareholder. The drill contractor that did our drilling in 2018, he's a big shareholder. He's about a 10% shareholder himself. And then just among close associates, I would say there's probably another 20%. As you know, some of these fellows or investors have informed me, and that, so it's a pretty tight share structure. It's held, you know, quite a bit by some pretty close hands, and I think people that believe in the long-term potential of the project.
So Thomas, give us a little insight on yourself, some of your history in the sector, please.
Actually, I've been in the business for 35 years. So I'm a geologist, worked in various levels of exploration from project generation, grassroots, all the way up to development. Feasibility and development projects, and MBA. I went back and worked in corporate and investment banking for a number of years, and then became a senior executive of some large cap companies. So that included Boliden and IM Gold, and then had the opportunity to become a CEO. And I think one can see, you know, geologist, MBA, banker, you know, senior executive, you know, going into the C-suite certainly made made sense. And that I was prior CEO of Crow Flight Minerals. I came into Crow Flight Minerals. I remember doing my first financing at 11.5 cents. And during the 2.5 years that we were there, renegotiated terms of the agreement twice, first with Falconbridge and then with Xstrata, to improve our ownership of the project and management of the project. And that project went from 11.5 cents to $1.30 during my 2.5 year tenure there. And then I was CEO of Castle Gold, and I came in at Castle Gold at 39 cents. And a year and a half later, Castle Gold was sold to Argonaut Gold at $1.20. So, I've had some good experiences, been able to make some good money for shareholders, and I think this is going to be a great opportunity as well.
Now, how about cash in the bank? Obviously, you will need to raise some more cash, or so I said at the beginning here, to actually get into a larger drill program once you are ready for that. But what does the company have in terms of cash right now?
Yes, we've got about $600,000 right now, and our intentions would be to raise between $2 to $3 million. Obviously, I'd like to see three because it gives us the opportunity to drill more holes. And that we're hoping to be in a position to drill late this quarter, the first quarter, early the second quarter. And that it's just a matter of completing this geophysics program and then the drill targeting and raising the capital. And that, and so my hopes would be that we can raise, towards $3 million. And that being the case, shareholders can sit back and wait for, the next six to nine months as drill results start to be produced from a program that would probably incorporate, 50 to 70 drill holes over that period of time.
All right, Thomas, let's just wrap it up quickly then with a summary of expected news flow for all of those that maybe are shareholders or starting to follow the company.
Yeah, well, we'll be announcing the advancement of this confidence program, the geophysics, and then as we start to get some results, we start to do some targeting. We're also doing a little bit of additional mapping and sampling, just some checks and confirmations. This is coming out of a PhD report that's posted on our website. We had a PhD actually review the project. A highly qualified individuals worked for companies the likes of Newmont, seeing projects all over the world. He reviewed Teneriba. I mean, look at the view. This is a highly prospective property, in his view. And so we're following up a little bit on that work. So the news flow, some of the sampling, mapping and sampling, results of some of the geophysics as we start to do our targeting, and that should position us for the drill financing. And then we expect to be drilling, as I say, late this quarter or early in the next quarter. We've already lined up the driller. It's going to be the same fellow that drilled last time. Actually, he's likely going to take a portion of his cost in shares, being equally confident as he was when he drilled in 2018.
All right, Thomas, we'll wrap it up there. Nice overview of this company. It is interesting in the simple fact that this is really a micro-cap company here. Yes, you do need to raise some money, but it seems like you are coming up with some drill targets and have a potential of making a discovery after, of course, raising some money. So if anybody has any follow-up questions for Thomas regarding Mammoth Resources, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I will get those answered for you. And as some more news comes out of this company, we will follow up and keep up to date. Thomas, thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much, Corey. Really appreciate it.